All right. So welcome, everybody, to the call. Chaddy's here. Nathan's here. I'm expecting a couple other people. Maybe they'll come. Maybe they won't. It doesn't matter because we're going to have a good time. And what I'd like to do is, Nathan, you put yourself on mute for now, just star six or whoever. What I like to do is start with some what I call celebrations, things that went right this week. So who wants to begin?
I can. I'm happy to begin.
Go for it, man.
Cool. So I, yesterday, and I think Caddy probably knows this, I played a show at Way Station, and so street performed and made a little bit of money doing that, and also performed at a wedding. So a lot of
was this all on the same day?
Yesterday was street performing and the bar show, and then the wedding was over the weekend.
Awesome. Wow. That's full. That's awesome. Great. Chatty.
Hi, I have a lot of buttons I'm pushing. I'm in the wrong place. I've had a lot of wins lately, actually, because I'm working towards that. But last night I ended up having the highest ring and making the most money on a Tuesday I ever have. I started at Montero 6 months ago. And that happened not by luck, but by the fact that I've been curating some relationships with service people who work in the neighborhood. And a whole bunch of them came in yesterday separately and stayed for a long time. And so the bar makes money, and I make money.
That's awesome. That's how it's done.
Yeah, and it's about that developing relationships, you know, in the past to pay it forward in the future, and it worked out really well. So
that's lovely. Awesome. Well, I think what would be fun today, since, you know, you're both, and I love that you're both talking about wins around money. I'm all about, of course, helping you multiply that. And it helps to get to the heart of the matter. So I wanted to do an exercise around our money voices, the unconscious beliefs around money that can not only influence our choices, but also influence how much we're willing to let ourselves earn in the world. So I am trusting you're both ready to write. I often like to start with a mindset exercise, okay? And I'll give you about a minute to complete each of these questions. The first one is, just keep writing. I'm very curious to know what you heard. How was money talked about in your house? What sort of remarks did you hear? Like, money doesn't grow on trees, you know, anything like that. The fact that people didn't talk about money is interesting, you know, whatever it is. So why don't you start writing now? I'll give you a little bit of time. Go ahead. Okay, awesome. I'd love to hear a couple of things you came up with. So just shout them out.
My dad would always say, He said, money isn't everything, but you need a little bit to be happy.
Interesting. Yeah, okay. That's good. I like it. I never heard that one. I like it. Money isn't everything, but you need a little bit of it to be happy. That's interesting. So, Caddy, what about you?
Two things. It was always squirrel the money and save it away because something is going to go wrong always, and you will need that money. So live in fear at all times that something's getting ready to go wrong. And,
I love it.
And you must have a steady income and know exactly what the set amount of money is you're making each week. Safety. It must be a very safe job.
Is that what people would say, the sorts of remarks you would hear? And
That wasn't a set job that sort of paid you a salary,
right,
was not a quote unquote real job. That was just something until you get to it.
Got it. If you're not getting a salary, it's not a real job. Okay.
Right.
So this is good. And actually, Caddy, you're a step ahead because you've worked with me for a while. So basically, I'm having you write these things down because we are doing some treasure hunting here around the kinds of beliefs we have constructed. Because kids between the age of 0 and 7 basically absorb everything. So I'm wondering, Nathan, for instance, if when your father said money isn't everything, but you need a little of it to be happy, I'm almost wondering if one possible interpretation of that could have been money doesn't matter, and if you have too much of it, it might actually make you unhappy. Does that resonate in any way?
I don't know if I doubt that's what my dad was saying, but
well, what do you think what do you think you heard? What do you think you interpreted? What do you think he was saying?
I think he was saying that you know, things like relationships and other parts of life are, you know, more fulfilling than money, but money is, you know, a necessary evil. And you have to have it to survive.
A necessary evil.
Yeah.
So there, that's interesting. I'm glad you spoke a little bit. A necessary evil. What does that mean to you?
Oh, something that we perhaps aren't crazy about, but, you know, it's just the way that the world functions now. And,
what's evil about it?
Oh, I don't... I don't know. That's a great question.
Huh?
It can make people act in ways that are not necessarily, you know, in their self-interest and in ways that can hurt other people.
Okay, so it does. Okay, so that's money is evil. Money is dangerous. That's interesting. There could be a little of that resonance going on. You know, money is just a currency. Money is just energy, really. But when you have some sort of a little underlying, you got to be careful. It's like plutonium thing going on. That's interesting. So the next part of this exercise is I'd like you to take a few minutes to write about people's behavior around money. When you were growing up. For instance, in my house, my father spent a lot of money on himself, and my mother spent a lot of money on us and wore really shitty clothes. Okay, that's what I observed growing up. So take a few minutes, and then she'd go and she'd spend secretly on herself. So there was just a crap load of information that I absorbed from all of that. So take a few minutes now to think back and write about how money was handled in your house. Go ahead. You put yourself on mute for the time being.
Sure.
All righty then. Caddy, why don't you start? What kind of behavior was going on when you were growing up around money?
Yeah, it was interesting thinking about it this time, digging into it deeper. They were a united front. My mom and dad were not different. There were no competing theories, which meant to me it was how the world worked. You only pull your wallet out and spend money on necessities. And that would be the cheapest version of the necessity you can find. So not just peanut butter, key food peanut butter. It wasn't always, obviously, necessities, because there are, but it was then a reward. So the purchase of something outside of the necessity had to be earned by doing something triple gold star level. Understand what I'm saying?
Yes, I do.
Okay. And then everything else was a planned spend. So a month and a half before fall came for school, it was what day we were going to go shopping, what two stores we were going to go to, and to the penny, exactly how much money we were going to spend on those clothes for the whole year.
Wow.
And Christmas, the Toys R Us catalog or some catalog would appear, and we had to select one or two things, also limited by price, that we wanted. But it was like a month-long process. We would sit there every breakfast, every, afternoon, and comb through and pick, and then narrow it down and pick again and narrow it down. But it's always this within a box. The rules were hard line set by both mom and dad.
Yeah.
And you had to operate within these parameters always. Period.
Oh, man. It's a lot of rigidity.
Yeah, so I do the opposite.
Yeah. What about you, Nathan?
I would say my parents were definitely not that tight, which is probably what actually made me be much more frugal than them.
And I
would say similar to your parents, Rossi. I think my mom would spend money on, the kids at the drop of a hat, any amount. But my dad kind of spent openly. He would spend money more on himself, with sort of expensive, cars, electronics, things like that. But he would also sort of secretly have things planned already for us. He would pay for our experiences for us to have, or he kind of planned in some way, planned his career so that he works at a university, so in that end, I got to go to school for free.
That's awesome.
So he kind of secretly did these very big contributions.
That's interesting. Okay, cool. So now this next question is a little different. This question is really about what you observed. And I'm also interested to know, your mother spent money on you guys. What did she, how about her? How'd she manage money?
On my end, not very well. She lived very relatively hand to mouth. She's more about, I would say she's a happier person, but she definitely lives more financially on the edge.
Interesting. Okay, so that's what you...
Spends a little bit more.
And what does she do? What does your mom do?
My mom is a musician. She's a church music director. She's an organist and a pianist and teaches privately in university.
That's why I'm very interested in her and her relationship. And, of course, you are a composite of the two of them, and you observe both those behaviors, and those all of it influences us. All right. So this next question is a little different. What was money like for you growing up? I'm talking about your relationship to it growing up, and I know it was controlled by others to a large extent. So what was it like for you? For instance, I'll give you an example. For me, it was very vague. It was very unclear. I didn't really, nobody showed me how to handle it or how to manage it, right? So what was money like? What was money like for you? And just keep writing. Take a minute to do that. Okay. So now, and this is a great exercise because you're going to keep thinking about it. You're going to dream about it. Things are going to strike you as you go through your day or tomorrow morning that you didn't realize in relation to how you deal with money. So, you know, this is just kind of like tip of the iceberg stuff. But now, given we've gone through all of that exploration, I want you to take a minute to just start writing down statements that express what you believe about money. For instance, for me, one would be money doesn't matter. Well, that would be my mother. Another mission statement might be money's dangerous, it's evil, whatever it is. Just start writing down your beliefs around money as statements, okay? Go ahead. All righty then. So, who wants to just, somebody just jump in and read me your list. It may just be a couple of them, but I don't care. Just read me what you got.
I wrote down that money is a powerful tool and perhaps the most politically equalizing force in human history. However, it is a double-edged sword, and like we had mentioned earlier, you know, it can be used, you know, for a great many things.
So that's rich. There's a lot in there. Money is an equalizing force. What does that mean?
So recently I read this book, this history book called Sapiens, and in it he argues that before, you know, cash, currency, whatnot, it allows people to communicate and to trade across borders in a way that we couldn't before money. I forget exactly his argument, but he was saying that it's, you know, without it, there would be even greater inequality between, let's say, haves and have-nots.
Okay, I want to keep it really in your heart center, not getting up into your head. So,
okay,
what does that mean? It's an equalizing force.
Well, whoever has money can buy things. You know, you don't have to exchange goods. But that part is very heady.
So it's equalizing in the sense that if you have it, you're equal to whatever it is you want. If you don't have it, maybe you're not worthy of whatever it is you want.
Possibly. But
or you're not entitled to it because you don't have the money.
I don't know.
Maybe not. Not worthy of it isn't the thing. And all right. Yeah. And the rest of it, though, was to read me the rest of what you wrote?
Yeah, I would say it's a tool, and it's a double-edged sword. You know, if you have tons
why
of
it, is it a
actually,
double-edged sword? Why is it a double-edged sword?
Well, because let's say you win the lottery, and you go from a working-class job to having $100 million. It's going to really disrupt your life more than more than you can handle. You will be almost definitively less happy.
So it does sound like money's dangerous a little bit.
Yeah, definitely.
Does that resonate? So money's a little dangerous. It's necessary, but it's like playing with fire. Fire is necessary. Electricity is necessary, but you got to be careful with it. That's what it sounds like.
Yeah, I would say that's a good analogy, yeah.
Would you say that's sort of the voice that's going on for you? Well, in your own words, what is your money voice now? Because now we're talking about conclusions. What makes you tick around money? What are your conclusions around money?
I mean, what do you mean? Like, what makes me, like, excited about it, or...
Well, you look at your life and the way your life is now. I mean, I'm just wondering whether I should only have enough to be happy and get by. Isn't running the show for you a little bit? And I'm wondering whether a new money voice, let's see if we can fit something, a new money voice. Now, what I'm doing now is even a little beyond coaching because it's very directive, and I understand that. So if this doesn't feel like it fits, you let me know. But I'm wondering if maybe a new money voice for you could be, it's safe for me to earn as much money as I need and more. It is safe for me, or even it's safe for me to earn more than enough money to take care of myself and anyone else. And still have enough, and still have some to save. I mean, what? Say something that does that resonate for you in any way? That money voice. It's safe for me to make as much. It's safe for me to be rich, maybe. It's safe
yeah,
for me to be wealthy. Do you believe
yeah,
that?
I don't,
that it's.
Well,
because you talk about
how wealthy.
Oh,
yeah.
It is safe for me to have as much money as Elon Musk. It is
safe
for me
to have as much money.
Oh, okay. But what if it were? What if it were for you? For you? It
yep,
is safe for me to have all the money I can imagine.
I mean, it doesn't mean that I don't want it, but as far as
mm-hmm.
safety,
well,
I,
you
no,
don't
I don't
want
think it's safe
it
for anyone.
It, you don't think it's safe for anyone. Okay, but we're getting up in our heads again.
Mm-hmm.
Getting up in your head again a little bit. It is safe for me to have enough money, you know, to have incredible abundance. What would that mean for you? To have all the money you wanted. What would it mean? What would that look like in your life?
Like, what would that number look like?
Well, not necessarily the number. What would your life look like?
Oh, man. Not that extravagant. I suppose, you know, a healthy, I don't know. I mean, I generally have pretty much everything that I need now. But to be able to travel and to be able to have support and dependents and maybe have a nicer home and a car.
Okay. It is safe for me to have everything I want and more.
I'll agree with that. Yeah.
Okay. It is safe for me to have everything I want and more. It is safe is very important. So does that land for you? It is safe for me to have everything I want and more?
Safe for me?
Well, or it is good. The more money I have, the more good I do in the world.
I don't know if that's really true for anyone.
Getting philosophical on me again, Nathan.
Well,
you sound like you're really afraid. It doesn't sound like you trust myself. Maybe it's simply I trust myself with lots of money.
Well, it's hard to call. I mean, I've never had lots of money, so I don't know. But
well, okay, but if you had a lot of money, would you trust yourself to use it well?
I would trust myself to at least consider what I'm doing, consider how I would spend it, and how I would maybe treat other people, which is probably more than the average person might think.
All right, so that's why I'm saying it is safe for me to have lots of money. I trust myself with lots of money. Just try playing with that. We'll see, we're teasing out the subconscious a little. Just play with that, all right? Fair enough? All right, why don't you come up with your own new money voice and tell me what that might be, given our conversation just now. What would your money voice be? The new money voice that you want to live into.
Do you want me to tell you right now? Say right
yeah.
now?
Yeah. Yeah, tell me right now what the hell.
I'd say, you know, it's safe and okay for me to live healthily, to have a healthy income, to live well, and to have enough to give to others. And I'd say that's, you know,
I like
all that
it.
I would think.
Write that down on 7 pieces of paper and tape it all around your abode.
Okay.
Okay, that, what you just said, take a second to write that down right now. Don't change it. I think the sentence ends with, now say it to me again, because we want to make sure the sentence ends and then go on and on.
I said it is okay for me to make a healthy, secure, comfortable living and have enough to give to others, and that's all I need.
Okay, you don't, and have enough to give to others. You don't, and just drop, that's all I need. Just drop that. It's okay for me to make a healthy living and have enough, you know, whatever, to give to others. To have a healthy living and have enough to give to others. Okay? Let's start with that. You know, we'll work from there. I think it's more than okay, personally, but I don't want to lay that on.
Okay.
All right? So, Kathy, what about you? What's your list?
Okay. So, you only receive money if you earn it directly.
Wow.
The only right way to handle your money is conservatively. With that stable, set income you know is coming. And hoard that.
Which one do you want to play with today?
Hang on, let me.
Okay, go ahead.
Let me do. I got 2 more, and then that's it. Then we'll figure out.
All right.
These
are great. They all.
Yes.
Go ahead.
You must work hard and long. In preparation to have any fun. And it's okay to share.
That's nice. I like that last one. But which one is giving you the most trouble, do you think?
It's really the top two. Because believing that only if I put hours in on the ground with arms and feet moving can I get a dollar.
Let's work with the first one.
Okay.
Read it to me again.
You only receive money if you earn it directly through actions.
Okay.
So in other words, there's no...
And what's the second one? Because I think they're connected. So do read the second one.
The only right way to handle money is conservatively with that stable income. And then when you get that stable income, hoard it.
Okay, the only right way. Aha! It is, okay, so a possible money voice there would be, it is good for me to receive money however way the universe gives it to me.
Exactly what I've been thinking lately. Say that again.
It is good for me to receive money in any way the universe gives it to me.
Okay.
It is good and it is safe.
Yes.
Maybe even that it benefits everyone. It benefits everyone for me to receive money in any way the universe gives it to me.
I have been, I've been working on that universe stuff.
I know you have.
And this sentence has been running around in an incomplete form for the last couple of weeks, specifically.
Oh, so let me hear it again. Let me hear now that it's more complete. What do you got?
It benefits everyone for me to it benefits everyone and is safe for me to receive money in any way the universe gives it to me.
I love it! Seven places. The reason I say write it on a piece of paper and put it in seven places is that you will stop seeing it. But if it's in seven places, at least once a day, it's going to catch your eye.
Yes.
And you're going to read it.
And you're, for me,
and it's gonna,
trying to get rid of a lifetime of the other monologue going on in my head from what I learned from my parents, it's important to think about it every day, the new way.
That's right. Because
I'm never going to have a steady, safe income. My intent is never to have a steady, safe income again. I'm not going into a corporate office job where I know I'm salaried and that's all I ever get. I tried that for a lot of years and it doesn't work.
We know that doesn't work. Absolutely.
So I have to move forward.
And you have to bathe in this new voice. Bathe in it because, you are right. We're talking about decades of coming out of another place, right? So no hurry, no worry. It's just gentle exposure and things are going to start to shift, right? Seven places. So at this juncture, good work, both of you. Wonderful. And I had a good time. That's how I know it was good. It was good for you. It was good for me, too. I had an exercise. Did either of you listen to the recording last week, from last week?
I did not have a chance.
Okay. Nathan?
No, I didn't.
Okay, fine. Then let's take a couple, 15 seconds now to do one more exercise so that we can come up with a couple of laser coaching issues, unless you each have something that you brought to the call. Which is it? Do you want to do an exercise to bring into focus an issue, or do you have an issue?
Exercise.
What about you, Nathan?
Yeah.
Okay,
yeah,
cool.
Let's do it.
All right. So you got a page, you got a piece of paper, and on one side is you're going to write, the first part of the exercise is you're going to write down a why question. The why question is, why can't I, why don't I? The problem-focused question, all right? And just write as many as you can, all right? Starting
why can't
now.
I?
Yeah, why can't I, why don't I? Yeah. Alrighty then. And on the opposite side of the page, or on a separate page if your handwriting's really big, I want you to write a solution-focused question. I want you to translate the problem-focused questions, why do I, why can't I, into a solution-focused question by phrasing it as how can I or how do I. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
All right. So, tally-ho, starting now. You put yourself on mute if you're not. All righty then. So I'd like you to look over the right side of the page, or the page with the solution-focused questions, the how can I, how do I questions. Pick one, and let's play. So as soon as you have one, you can just jump in.
Well, this is hard because I want to do all four of them, but I don't know how to pick one.
Well, why don't you read them? Because maybe they're connected. Just read them all.
Oh, okay. How can I advertise my services? How can I establish a stable routine schedule for tasking my life administration? You know, all those things I have to take care of.
Yes.
How do I become a master negotiator? And which program should I put focus in to get free money? And by free money, I know a lot of different, there I have right now 5 different programs that I could do a limited amount of work and money would just come into my bank account.
Okay, I was right. You need to pick one because which one is hot? Which one feels really hot to you of those 4 questions? I know you want to do it. We're just going to do one right now.
You know what? Let's stick with this because I'm close to doing it, and you and I have been working on this for a long time.
Okay, which one is that?
How can I establish a stable routine for taking care of my life tasks, you know, life administration tasks?
Okay, so where are you at that? Where are you with that now?
I did a bunch of them yesterday, and I made a list. Yay me.
Okay. Okay. And what is the question? How can I establish a steady or
stable,
a regular?
Yes.
A stable.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. So where are you with the stability part?
I have faith that this time I'll get it right.
Okay, so you're not really, faith is lovely. In other words, it sounds like you don't think the way you go about things right now is stable. What's not stable about it?
I get distracted by other things and go do them, and I will have 3 or 4 days.
So we're talking about distractibility. You know what it is that you need to do, it sounds like.
Yes.
Right? And you go and you have an intention to do it.
Yep.
But then you see a squirrel. Something.
Yep.
You see a shiny object.
You get
hijacked. Okay, so let's work with the distraction. Okay, it sounds like we want to work with the distraction a little today, and we're not going to tie it up in a neat bow, but we'll get a nice start, okay? So when you get distracted, how does that feel?
Safe.
What? Safe.
Safe.
Oh, it feels safe?
Yeah, I go do the thing. S-A-F-E. I go do the thing that is actionable and right in front of me, that is tactile, that I can touch.
Yeah.
As opposed to making a phone call that caused me to have a very high level of anxiety.
Right, and so you put out a fire. You put out a fire, and putting fires out makes you feel safe.
Right.
Right, I got it. Okay. So let's think in terms of, we could talk about ways to cut off the distractions and the da-da-da-da-da, but usually there is one behavioral shift that needs to be identified so that everything else falls into place or becomes unnecessary. So that, putting the special program to cut off the email becomes right? So what is the one... I'll give you an example. For me, it's getting to bed early. It's not eating past a certain time and getting to bed by a certain time. If I do that, I have a wonderful life. Everything falls into place. What is the one behavior that you think you can change, that you can change? What is the one behavior that if you changed it, you would be able to stay focused more?
I'm just going to say what popped in my brain because that's all we got, right?
Yep.
My Tai Chi.
Okay. So
instead of deferring the Tai Chi to right before I'm rushing out the door and doing it super fast, it really calms me down and makes me feel like I can, I'm a warrior who can handle the world, therefore a very, very low anxiety start as opposed to,
okay.
And should I just change the routine of when I get up, coffee, Tai Chi, then everything else? I have a feeling I will not get so distracted. Yeah, get up and Tai Chi.
Get up and don't do coffee till you do Tai Chi.
I have to coffee before I do anything.
All right, you're arguing with me.
I'm sorry.
I'm going to say, you're arguing with me. How else are you going to change the routine unless you change the routine? Is there another way you could change the routine?
Well, just a 3-step routine. Get up, coffee, Tai Chi. Nothing else.
It would be pretty hard to do Tai Chi before you get up, wouldn't it?
Yes.
Okay. So if you only have a 3-part routine, that is get up, coffee, and Tai Chi, the only thing that is there for you to shift is the coffee and the Tai Chi. That's the only thing you can try. And if you want to do it before you run out the door, use Tai Chi to get out of bed.
Oh, okay.
Use Tai Chi your way out of bed and keep going.
I like that. Tai Chi your way out of bed.
That's right. Tai Chi has to come before the coffee somehow. Okay. Give that a shot because faith is a wonderful thing, but faith without action.
I got it.
Is,
there's a there's a thing called the five elements. It's not the full Tai Chi form. It's just five elements. And that I could do before coffee.
Awesome. All right, so we're going to do the five elements before coffee this week. And so we're working on the stability. And I'm going to be very interested to see the domino effect of this in terms
Me
of...
Me too.
Okay? So let's go for that. All right, good work. Nathan, what do you got?
Well, my, you know, I think both of you guys have heard about this, but I guess my why don't I or why can't I is make an album.
So how do I make an album? Is that your question? I asked for the solution focused question. What is the solution focused question?
And I guess I don't know. I put it as my solution to that.
Give me the solution focused question. What is the question? How do I make an album? Is that the question?
Yeah.
How do I record an album? Okay. So now the question is, what do you do first? That's really, I think, the question. What do I do first to get started recording an album? So what do you do first?
Well, you have to have material, so writing.
No, let's keep it in the first person. I need to have material.
Do
you have material? Do you have material?
I do have material.
Do you have enough material to fill an album?
I have enough to fill a 5-song EP.
Would you call that an album?
I would call that an EP.
Do you need to have an EP before you have an album?
You don't need to, but now that's kind of the trend, really, honestly, to just release
singles. So then it sounds like in order to have an album, you need to have an EP first. Is that right? Or that's how it's done, you say? Not that that's how you have to do it, but go ahead.
Right, yeah, just because of the expense of recording and you know, everything that's involved for a first timer, I would say EP is the right thing to do.
Okay, so the first answer is make the EP. So, and it sounds like you have enough material for an EP. So now that you have enough material for an EP, what do you do next?
Arrange it. Arrange the music, work with the producer to figure out how we're going to arrange the song.
Where are you? Are you in that process now?
I am. Yeah, it's just moving slowly because the guy that I have is doing it for very cheap, and it's he's got a lot of other stuff going on. Yeah.
So it sounds like really what's going on underneath that question is frustration with the pace of how it's going. And so, and I'm wondering whether there is a choice to be made here. Either do something to change the pace, or get comfortable with the fact that the pace is as fast as it can be right now. Which is it that you need to do, or that you can do?
I need to do something to change the pace because.
Okay, good. What do you need to change the pace?
Setting a deadline.
So it sounds like your assignment is, now whose deadline is this? Is this yours and the producer's deadline?
It's my deadline.
But you're relying on him. He's causing the frustration because things are going slowly. Is that right?
To some degree. I have definitely slowed the project down in wanting to redo things and whatnot, just because it's kind of my first time around. But now that we're almost finished with one song, I have a better picture of, you know, how long it's going to take to do the song.
You get what the process takes. So it sounds maybe you need to do some math so that you can have a deadline. So do you want to do the math now, or do you want to do that for homework and then have a deadline when we meet again next week.
I definitely, that sounds like a homework project.
Okay. So aside from setting a deadline, which I think is absolutely important, what will give that deadline peace? What will make that deadline compelling for you?
Like what's the incentive?
That's
something
a way
to incentivize myself. I mean, making something public, making like a public announcement, saying like, on you know this general date, like this week or month, I will have.
And that's
going
to generate excitement around for other people. I mean, you know, people are going to come across that on social media or whatever. They're going to, oh, that's cool. Good to know. Congratulations. I'm looking forward to it. Keep me posted, right? That's awesome.
Yeah.
You're going to create some accountability. I like it.
Yeah. It's also terrifying because, you know, you got to, like,
if it
put
weren't
something
terrifying,
out.
It would be, if it weren't terrifying, it would be the wrong goal. I mean, and if it weren't a little uncomfortable, it would be the wrong goal because nothing changes if you don't get a little, if you don't stretch, if you don't get a little uncomfortable. Same with Caddy. The idea of having coffee, doing Tai Chi before coffee is anathema. It's uncomfortable. But that's why it's the right thing to do, you know, and finding a way to do it so that it's not so uncomfortable that it's impossible is the key. Right?
Okay.
So is it so uncomfortable that you don't think you'll do it, or is it just right?
I would say it's one of those things that, you know, if I set a deadline in the next 3 months, it would be very tight, but I would get it done. And it would force me to just, you know, ramp up the pace and ramp up my output.
I like it.
Yeah.
Okay. So when am I going to see this posted on social media? Where are you going to post it, first of all?
I would post it on probably my, I don't have that many followers on my music page yet, but I would post it on both my personal and my music page on Facebook.
All right, so make sure, I think we're friends. I can't, you know, I want to see that. I look forward to seeing that.
All right.
Okay? And I'd like to follow your page, so just make sure that I have message me in Facebook or send me a link to it so I can follow your page. Right.
Yeah, sure. It's just Nathan Real Music.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, send it to me anyway. I don't like
sure,
to promise
sure,
to
sure.
hold things in my head, even if they're really simple. It just doesn't
yeah,
work.
Yeah, yeah. For sure.
Well, I think you guys did great work today. How do you feel?
Oh, awesome. I love simple solutions that have long-term effect changes.
Well, that's what we want, the one thing. Right on. And what about you? How do you feel?
I think this deadline, setting, just thinking about a deadline and setting that will help me just put so much of my time into, you know how to distribute my time better.
Sure.
Yeah.
Absolutely. And we're going to see each other Thursday, I think, so that would be great to build on that.
Yeah. Yeah, tomorrow. Yeah, I don't know if I have the address of where, but...
Well, we'll take care of that offline, off call. So.
Okay.
But I think, you know, we're going to end just a couple minutes early, and there's only so few of us. I hope you feel that's okay. All right?
Yes, this is a wonderful, enlightening call.
Oh, good. I'm glad. Well, I had a great time, as I usually do. Especially when people show up. And by the way, if you listen to last week's call, it's really just me, so it's real short. But the reason I think it's important to listen to is it's just going to take you on a tour of the group page, of the place where all the recordings are archived, right? Just to orient yourself and feel a little more grounded in this crazy little world we're creating together, okay, called Creative Entrepreneur Success Club. Right. So
sounds great.
That as well. Yeah.
Roddy,
so
I'll
see you. Yeah?
Oh, sorry, a question about the accountability partners. Were we supposed to, like,
sure.
pick somebody that we were going to have like a one-on-one accountability
partnership? Absolutely. Yeah, you can just go on the Facebook page, say, hey, I'm up for hooking up with somebody as an accountability partner, and, you know, get see what kind of response you get, and then take it offline through messaging and set up a time to meet.
Okay.
Yeah. All righty. So have a great week, everybody.
All right, you
all right,
too. And I'll touch base. And I'll touch base with you on that other stuff we were working on too.
Okay. Awesome.
Okay.
I look forward to that. Yes.
All right. Have a good
Bye-bye.
One.
Bye.